Makos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel 2, 3, and more about who goes into Gullus. Says the Mishnah, Ha'av Gola Alidei HaBen. A father would go into Gullus over the accidental death of his son, if he caused it. So we said in the previous Mishnah that if a father hits his son out of doing a mitzvah, he'd be exempt. But if it wasn't a mitzvah, if the father and son are out chopping wood, and then the axe flies off and kills the son, God forbid, so then the father would go into exile in Gullus. The chiddush here is that a case, for example, says the Gemara, well, let's say the son already knew a trade, he had been educated by his father to learn and learn to trade, and the father teaching him a second trade, and in order to get the son to pay attention, he disciplines the son by hitting him, and the son dies on accident. So the idea is that since teaching a second trade is not really technically a mitzvah, because he had a first trade by which he could support himself, it's not a mitzvah, and the father's out of line, and therefore the father would be subject to gullus. And same goes, v'haben gola al yudei ha'av. A son, if he's the one chopping the wood, and then the father dies from that, or the like, so then the son would go into gullus. The chiddush here is you might have thought that since a son is already chayav misa for just causing injury to his father, so one might have thought that gullus alone isn't enough. You know, gullus alone isn't enough to gain kapara, and that's part of the point of the gullus process. So you might have thought the child is sort of not going to be entitled to gullus because he's not entitled to such a kapara since it's his own father who he injured. Says the Mishnah, no, that's not correct. The son does go into gullus and he does get a kapara. Says the Mishnah further, Hakol Golin Alidei Yisrael. If one kills a Jew, he goes into gullus. And that's true if one kills a Jew b'shogeg, whether the person who did the accidental killing was an Eved Kanani or even a Kusi. Remember the Kusim, who are like dubious converts. Our Tana holds they're Jews, they're good converts, and therefore they go into gullus over the death of a Jew. V'Yisrael golin al yadehen. Same goes if a Jew kills b'shogeg, not just another Jew, but even an Eved Kanani, who's like kind of like a quasi-Jew, and a Kusi, who's like a convert with a dubious conversion. Says our Tana, those are all reasons to go into gullus because you need the kapara. Our mission doesn't explicitly discuss what happens if a Jew kills b'shogeg a ger toshav, a non-Jew. But the Rambam and others, most others learn that since the Jew needs kapara for this accidental death, he would also go into exile for such a scenario. Now, chutz mal yedei ger toshav, says the Mishnah, and the way to understand this, notwithstanding the simple reading of the words, is if a ger toshav, that means a non-Jew who is living in Israel, who's allowed to live in Israel because he's keeping the Shevet Mitzvah B'nei Noach, if he kills a Jew, B'shogeg, he does not go into Gullus. Now, why not? So, Rashi learns because when it comes to a Ger Toshav, even if they're keeping the Shevet Mitzvah B'nei Noach, they are not entitled to Shkaga dispensations. If they violate a rule of Bishkaga, they're held to be bemazed. So if they kill on Bishkaga, they're still treated as if it was mazed and they are executed. That's Rashi Shita. And Rambam seems possible like that. The Ramban questions how it's possible a person could be held liable for execution for an accident that he didn't intend to do. Since that's inconceivable, says the Ramban, he learns the Pshat in the Mishnah here is that the Ger Toshav doesn't go into Gullus because he's not entitled to a kapara that Gullus would afford him. But he certainly is not executed either. The Ger Toshav, Eino Gola al Yedei, Ela al Yedei Ger Toshav. When it comes to a Ger Toshav, he would go into Gullus if and only if his victim were also a Ger Toshav. So if two non-Jews who are in Eretz Yisrael, one's chopping the wood and another one dies in accident, and the one who killed him accidentally goes into Gullus to get a kapara. Says the Mishnah further, Hasuma, someone who's blind, Eino Gola, he is exempt from Gullus. Div Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Why? The Pasuk says, O Bechol Evin Asher Yamusba Below Ro'os. Or if the killer killed his victim with a stone that was a lethal stone, potentially it was big enough to kill, Below Ro'os, but he didn't see. So Rabbi Yehuda understands that not seeing is coming to exclude someone who can't see. And that being the case, a blind person is exempt from gullus. Rabbi Meir disagrees. Rabbi Meir holds that if you have two miutim back-to-back, and Rabbi Yehuda actually agrees with the principle, that if you have two miutim back-to-back, so then the two miutes combine to actually come to include something. The rule is, ein miut achra miut elele rabot. If you have two miutim, two exemptions, like two limiting languages back-to-back, it's coming to add something back in. And Reb Meir holds there's another pasuk, right, which says Asher yake esreehu bevlidas, one who strikes his fellow Jew bevlidas without knowledge, and holds Reb Meir, who is someone who, like, in general doesn't know what's going on around him so much, someone who's blind. So if we have two mi'utin to exclude blind people, the Beloraos and Bevlidas, so the two mi'utin combine to give you something added back, namely that it's coming to add back blind people, that they are included and they do go to Gullus, says Reb Meir. Reb Yehuda agrees with the principle. He says, listen, the Bevlidas without knowledge is referring to other things, referring to someone who's not intending to kill a human, he's aiming for an animal and the like. And that being the case, there's no drash to be made, no miut. And that being the case, there's only one miut, and therefore it comes to exclude blind people from going to Gullus. And again, that's the halacha. Hasone. If Reuven and Shimon have a situation of where Reuven is considered to be a sone, he hates Shimon. And the Gemara's definition of a sone is someone who didn't speak to his friend for 3 days because of his negative feelings. So Reuven is embittered against Shimon so much so that for the last 3 days he's avoided talking to him on purpose. He refuses to speak to him. So then the question is, now if they're out chopping wood and Reuven accidentally kills Shimon, do we think, well, this is a little fishy and it was kind of convenient and Reuven did it, you know, out of spite? So says the Mishnah, based on that principle of the puzzle there, indeed, hasona eino gola. If Reuven has a status of being a sona, we assume that it was a little bit too convenient and this shogig was a shogig karov lemezid. It was closer to intentional, and therefore Reuven is not entitled to the protections and the kapara of a ir hamiklat. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda says even worse than that. He says if there's already a sin of situations, then it's just too convenient. It must be that it was a setup, and Reuven intended to kill Shimon, and that being the case, hasona nehereg. The sona is neherag, the sona is executed, because we assume that his quote-unquote accidental death was just a setup to make it look like an accident, when really Reuven engineered it. That's too convenient. Reuven must have engineered it to kill Shimon. And is, as far as you're worried about, what about you need like Edom and Hasra? No. Bipnei Shahu Kamuad. It's as if he's been pre-warned. He's a dangerous person. Everyone knows it if he's Sona his friend. And therefore, if he acts, he'll be punished accordingly. That's sort of an extreme view in the one direction. That's Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda's opinion. In the other extreme, sort of seeing people much more favorably, is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yesh Sona Shagola. Now, sometimes he says someone could be a Sona and still go into Gullus. And there's also Yesh Sona Shagola. Sometimes someone could be a Sona and not be entitled to Gullus. It just depends. The principle is, Kol Shu Yachol Omer LaDa'as Harag. If there's a possibility to say that the death was actually intentional, so then Eino Gola, for sure, we're not letting him have the Gullus because it's like Karov Tamezit, because he was a Sona already. But if it's Vishalola da'as harag, if it's not any reasonable way to say that it was with knowledge. In other words, for example, Reuven and Shimon are having a fight. Reuven hasn't spoken to Shimon in 3 days, so he's a sona. Reuven's going to chop wood. Shimon is supposed to be in Timbuktu on vacation. Then Shimon, by freak accident, you know, unbeknownst to Reuven, changes his plans, decides to go for a walk in the forest, and then, although Reuven had no idea Shimon was there, the accident flew off and hit Shimon. So now, there's no way that Reuven could have arranged that. He didn't know what was happening. So therefore, for sure, he didn't intend it. And therefore, in such a situation, even though he was a sona towards Shimon, clearly it's an accident. And therefore, Reuven would, yes, go into Gullus, says Rabbi Shimon, Bar Yochai. However, the halacha doesn't follow either of those two opinions. It follows the Tanakhama, which is that if someone is a sona, he's not entitled to go to Gullus. And that's really based on the pasuk. And that's true for all scenarios where a person is a sona. There's no possibility of Gullus. We assume that he was a shogeg who was karov lemezid.